Today is December 13th, 2020, the third Sunday of Advent. As the coronavirus continues to be active in our communities, we do not worship together in person at the church, but offer this recorded service. And I welcome you to this time of worship. From the flurry of holiday busyness, with full calendars and hectic schedules, we come longing for peace, yearning for lasting joy, hoping to find our rest in God. From the worry of our days, we continue to be set free, to be made new, to follow the Prince of Peace, the joy of every longing heart. Please pray with me. O God, too often in this season, waiting and spiritual preparation get shoved aside in favor of busyness and lists. Does the quiet joy of Advent ever stand a chance amid such conspicuous consumption? Does the voice crying in the wilderness have any hope to be heard over the Christmas commotion? Speak to us, dear God. Speak tenderly, but insistently. Let the sacredness of this time hold us fast, so that we may live in peace, in quiet, forever changed. Speak to us in the deepest yearnings of our hearts. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, who lived and died for our sins, and who lives with you now and forever. And we now pray as he taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you now to listen and or join in singing the carol, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
Touch their hearts.
I'll be reading two scriptures today. The first is from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The second scripture for today comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 36. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, Jesus said. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, saying, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said, An angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus said to them, The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light. After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them. May we be blessed through these scripture passages today. And please pray with me. Holy God, we praise and glorify you. We rejoice in all the ways that you provide for us and sustain us. Open our hearts and our minds to your word and fill us with your spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this season of the year. The candles, carols, special fragrances, cards, lights, and decorations that adorn our homes, the presents to be given, the holiday foods to be prepared and enjoyed, all evoke feelings of excitement and anticipation. And even in this joyous time, many of us often feel frustrated, stressed, and for some, even depressed. As we look around, we denounce the commercialization and overindulgence promoted as part of the modern Christmas celebration. Sometimes the music is too loud and unceasing. Often the decorations are too big and garish. Neighbors seem to compete to see how many lights and decorations can be used to illuminate their property. It's a season that brings with it much tension and stress, and we're saturated with it all long before Christmas Day. And it's been reported that this year, especially, decorations and trees were put up early and were more plentiful to counteract some of the bad feelings we've had about the pandemic and ensuing difficulties. This reminds me of the story by C.S. Lewis that he wrote that was entitled Xmas and Christmas. It takes place on the island of Nyaturb, which is the word Britain spelled backwards. Every winter, the Nyaturbians celebrated a festival they called Xmas. They packed the marketplaces in all sorts of weather in order to get ready for the celebration. They looked for cards and gifts for their relatives and friends. As the days counted down, the preparation began to take its toll. Many of the people grew pale and weary. They looked as though they were under tremendous strain. Some even missed the big day altogether because they were so exhausted or they had gotten sick from overeating and drinking. But there was another holiday held on the same day as Xmas. The Nyaturbians called it Christmas. It was a holy day, but it was difficult to keep it holy because Xmas was so distracting. The point of Lewis's story is that there are really two different holidays celebrated on December 25th. One is celebrated by almost everyone in the United States. That is Xmas. The other is celebrated by the followers of Jesus. It is called Christmas. And because both holidays fall on the same date, people often confuse them. For instance, one of the classic holiday stories is How the Grinch Stole Christmas. In the story by Dr. Seuss, a creature called the Grinch steals all the presents, decorations, and food in the little town of Whoville. By doing this, he thought he could prevent Christmas from coming. But of course, he found that Christmas comes even without presents and food. Just like many people, the Grinch was confused. He did not steal Christmas. He stole Xmas. If all the presents are stolen, there is no Xmas, but Christmas still comes. If the reindeer and stockings are removed, there may be no Xmas, but Christmas still comes. Xmas is made of greeting cards, trees, reindeer, cookies, and parties. Take these all away, and we have eliminated the holiday of Christmas, of Xmas. But we still have not touched Christmas. Christmas is not presents and fruitcake. Christmas celebrates the coming of God's Son into the world. When we celebrate Christmas, we remember that God came to earth so that the world could see him, hear him, and know him. Christmas reminds us that God still invites us to meet him and know him. And that's an altogether different focus than Xmas. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that Xmas is bad and only Christmas is good. In spite of C.S. Lewis's rather negative description of it, and even though it may have gotten out of hand in contemporary culture, Xmas is still a nice holiday. In non-pandemic times, families get together, children still bubble with excitement, houses, stores, and churches are beautifully decorated. The music is uplifting and inspiring. People even talk about love and peace. Xmas is great, even if it is a lot of work, but it can also be very distracting. The danger is that it is very easy to get so busy preparing for Xmas that there's no time left to prepare for Christmas. In fact, the two holidays are so different. Preparing for one is radically different than preparing for the other. That is what Advent is all about, and that is why we observe Advent. Xmas can become so all-consuming that we never think about Christmas until it is past. Advent, however, represents a conscientious and disciplined effort by Christians to keep the focus upon the primary event of history, the coming of our Savior into the world. At Christmas, it is easy for us to become like the people who once greeted President Franklin Roosevelt at a gala ball. He was tired of shaking hands and smiling his big smile and saying all the usual empty greetings at such an occasion. So he decided to do something outrageous. Convinced that no one was listening anyway, the president greeted each person by saying, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." Everyone responded with a smile and a nod and said things like, "Wonderful! Lovely! Keep up the good work, Mr. President." One diplomat, however, did listen and actually heard what the president had said. He leaned over and whispered in Roosevelt's ear, "I'm sure she had it coming to her." If, from time to time, we do not deliberately force ourselves to see what God is doing and to listen to what God is saying, then we will likely never really know that God has gone to such lengths to make himself known. To prepare for Xmas is to get ready for a party, but to get ready for Christmas is to get ready to meet a person. That is the message of today's scripture texts. Isaiah instructed Israel to listen. The Lord is coming, and his glory will be revealed. In the Gospel of John, we read where it was confirmed that God had been revealed and glorified by the work of Jesus in the past through his miracles and signs, and that God would continue to be glorified again in the future through Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus entered the world at Bethlehem about 20 centuries ago, and because he lives today, we can still meet him if we are prepared. And preparation is the key that allows us to hear and open our hearts so that Christ can come in and have fellowship with us. So getting ready for and counting the days until Christmas really means getting ready and counting the days to meet our Savior and Lord. And that is our primary responsibility during Advent. 2,000 years before Jesus was born, bells were used in Asia for joyful as well as sad occasions. Since Jesus' birth, bells have been used in many countries to announce his birthday. In the coming days, we will undoubtedly hear bells ring on several occasions. As you do, I encourage you to remember the message of the song, "Ring the Bells," by Harry Baulbach. Ring the bells, ring the bells. Let the whole world know, Christ was born in Bethlehem many years ago. Born to die that man might live, came to earth, new life to give, born of Mary, born so low, many years ago. God the Father gave his Son, gave his own beloved one, to this wicked, sinful earth, to bring mankind his love, new birth. Ring the bells, ring the bells, let the whole world know. Christ the Savior lives today, as he did so long ago. May we listen for the bells of this season as they help to prepare us to welcome Jesus once again. Please pray with me. Merciful Savior, the longings of our heart are deep and profound, and the season of Advent, like no other, makes us acutely aware of our yearnings. While we are surrounded by glittery tinsel and pretty packages, we are reminded that superficial things do not truly satisfy. Our calendars are crammed with activities and events, exposing the lie that busyness offers meaning and purpose. The to-do list runs off the page, yet exhaustion, not joy, is too often the end result of achieving it all. We may have people around us, but feel the emptiness of our connections to others. What we genuinely desire is mystery, a sense of transcendence, a story that is bigger than life, but enfolds our lives. We need the Son of God become flesh, the baby born in a manger who brought shepherds to their knees and angels to their feet. We long for a liberating truth that cannot be contained in words, but must be sung by the heavenly hosts. In short, Lord, we hunger for you. Come to us anew, we pray, to satisfy our restless hearts. Amen. I invite you now to listen and or join in singing the carol, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Before giving the benediction, I would like to invite you to check out the website, our church's website, to see a recording of last year's Carol Festival. For today is the traditional day when we would be having our Festival of Carols in the afternoon. We'd be having people coming from the wider community and joining in a combined choir and singing anthems and singing carols together. And because of the pandemic, we're not able to do that. And many people are missing that event. So we are offering last year's event that was recorded on the website for your listening pleasure. And now we conclude our service. Christmas is coming. Emmanuel will be here before we know it. In the days ahead, take a moment to stop, to listen, to hear beyond the carols, beyond the commercials, beyond your mind saying, "I must hurry now, there is much to do." Take a moment each day to listen for the word of God spoken in your life, to you, and for you in this Advent season. It may come from the Bible or a devotional. It may come out of the mouth of a child. Or the message may be rung on bells. If we listen, we will hear God speaking. Amen. Thank you.